I'm Matt Miller of the Ditch That Textbook podcast, a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts. Make sure you check out all the other great educational podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Can they see themselves through your curriculum, through your lesson plans? Because if they can't see themselves, you are unintentionally and unknowingly telling them, you and people like you don't matter to me. And you become the reason the light begins to dim. You become the reason they stop logging in, they stop leaning in, they stop showing up, because you've told them they don't matter to you.
Welcome to the Leader of Learning podcast. This is where educators can come to find inspiration to transform education through effective leadership. I'm your host, Dr. Dan Krynas, and my research and leadership experiences have led me to understand that someone like you, regardless of your role or your title, can truly make an impact in your organization. I chat with amazing guests who epitomize what it truly means to be a leader of learning. I'm so glad you've tuned in. Let's get started. Hey, Leader of Learning, and welcome to what I'm calling the year-end episode. You know, we have been through so much this year and last year in education, and I don't know about you, but I am definitely heading into the summer feeling like I need some rest and relaxation, but I still don't want to forget about continuing to develop myself. I've already mentioned on here, I'll be presenting in a few weeks at the ASCD annual conference. I really hope that I will see you there. I'm also presenting at the Wii Video Creator Conference in July, as well as attending the ISTE conference. So there will be plenty of content shared by me both on this podcast and at those presentations and conferences throughout the summer. But I am definitely going to find time to relax and rejuvenate as well. Speaking of the year-end episode, man, I have got a great one in store for you. My guest in this episode is Manny Scott. Now, I heard Manny speak at the ASCD Empower Conference in 2018 in Boston, and man, I was blown away. And you'll hear me admit to Manny in this episode that he is absolutely one of the most powerful speakers that I have ever heard. If you don't know Manny's story, Manny was, in real life, one of the characters portrayed in the movie Freedom Riders. Manny grew up underprivileged from a broken home and a difficult upbringing, and clearly has overcome and at this point has become quite an inspiration to students and educators across the world, really. And I am absolutely fortunate to have him come on the show and give us some time here. And I will tell you, this is going to be an amazingly uplifting and inspirational episode. And Manny shares some very inspirational messages as well. He's authored several books at this point on education and providing that kind of inspiration for teachers. His latest book is Teacher Secrets Every Educator Must Know to Empower Students in a Diverse Digital World. He's also going on the Turning the Page tour this summer, where he'll be speaking to educators in several states all over the country about what he does best, which is telling them about how to reach, teach, and empower students in difficult, diverse digital times, and also students who, like him, deal with lots of trauma in their lives. I cannot wait for you to listen to this episode. I am not going to take time off over the summer, but things will slow down after this one. So this is really my year-end episode. It's a bit longer than most, but I know that you're going to really enjoy the message that Manny Scott shares in this one. So after these messages is my interview with Manny Scott.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back, Leader of Learning. In this episode, it is my absolute honor and privilege to be speaking to Manny Scott, who I got to listen to actually speak at an ASCD conference a few years ago. And I haven't told him yet off the record, but on the air, I'll say one of the most powerful speakers that I've heard, especially live. And I was touched and moved. And it's taken me a few years now, but I finally got him on the podcast. And man, it's a real privilege. If you don't know Manny Scott, Manny is an original Freedom Writer. Yes, I do mean the movie Freedom Writers, an original Freedom Writer. And now turned educator and one of the nation's most in-demand speakers in education. Love the message that he shares. He's an author with another book that just got finished up called Teacher Secrets: Every Educator Must Know to Empower Students in a Diverse Digital World. I'm excited to get my hands on a copy of that. It contains 40 of the most powerful lessons that Manny has learned. In addition, going on tour soon, the Turning the Page tour, lots of exciting stuff. Manny, welcome to the show. I know Thank there's a lot there. More to you and about you that you can maybe share with the listeners and introduce yourself. Who's Manny Scott?
Yeah. Thank you first, Dan, for having me, man. It's an honor to be here. It's been just an intense season, so I'm sorry it took so long for us to connect, but I'm grateful for this opportunity to serve your audience and your friends and followers, because I know these are hard times. Who's Manny Scott? Man, so the short answer is I'm just a guy on a mission. I come from the bottom, beautiful, broken family. Father's been in prison most of my life. Stepfather was addicted to drugs, violent and abusive when he got drunk or high. I lived in 26 places before I was 16, slept on the floors of homeless shelters, and, you know, just moved from school to school. I was a struggling student. I earned from fourth to ninth grade. I ditched school 60 to 90 days every year. I earned a 0.6 GPA the first semester of high school, and then I dropped out and just gave up. But several loving adults, you know, teachers, coaches, counselors, a man addicted to crack, pastors, people came into my life and helped me turn the page, helped me return to school, pick up my grades. And I ended up graduating from high school. First person in my family to go to college, UC Berkeley, go Bears. Got a master's degree, and I'm now finishing my PhD. I'm a father, I'm a husband, and really for the last 20 years, I've been on the road up to 300 days a year, just serving and working in 49 states, six continents, just trying to give hope to the hopeless, the least, the last, the lost, the left out, and to help those who work with the little Manny Scotts at the bottom, reminding everyone that even on your worst day, you can still be a student's best hope. In a nutshell, that's Manny Scott.
That's great. And what I wanted to ask you is, you know, you talked about your background, and I don't want to brush that aside because I know it's an important part of your story, but you've overcome it really to a degree. I mean, it'll always be part of you, but
of course,
you've been successful in spite of your background. And I know you said that you had some mentors and motivators along the way. I guess what I'm wondering is, what is it about you that has pushed through all of that and decided, I am going to do this. I am going to get my education. I mean, right now you're about to, you know, get the highest degree possible. And we were talking even before we hit record here about our experiences as doctoral students. It's a grind, man. Like, why? How did you get there?
Well, there's a re, and now I understand why people call it a terminal degree. Man, it's nearly kills me.
Yeah, exactly. Kills you, kills your family, everybody. Takes them all out.
Oh my goodness. I started this thing with a head full of hair. Man, my kids were young. But anyway, my motivation. So I've made it to where I am. I've become who I am today through very hard work and the help of several people. But there was a time in my life when, you know, I dropped out of school and, you know, this man addicted to crack sat down next to me and he just shared his story with me. This man prayed with me while he was addicted to crack. And he gave me perspective. He gave me a glimpse, really, of my own possibilities. And he helped me see what I might become if I didn't make some changes in my life. And I thought about the people around me. And I didn't see anyone whose life I wanted. I didn't see anyone around me who inspired me. Yes, my mother, you know, inspired me, but we had so many challenges at home. There was this desire, man, to just break the cycle. I wanted more out of life. And, you know, there was this point where, you know, I tell people I have these two motivations. I was running from something and then I started running to something. For years, I was just running from poverty, running. I don't want to be poor. I don't want to be broke. I don't want to live in a neighborhood where I'm constantly watching my back. I'll never put my hands on a woman. I'll never I don't want to be that. But along the way, through just teachers and others, they exposed me to more than my background and my neighborhood. And I started dreaming. You know, I want to become the first person in my family to graduate from high school. Man, you think I can go to college? Yeah. Okay, I'll go to college. I want to go to graduate school. I want to fly airplanes. Man, I want to be happily married. I want to be a good dad. I want to break the cycle. Man, I want to be free in every sense of the word. And so my motivation has really been twofold, running from and then running toward, like, I want more. I want more. And then, you know, eventually it spills over into, I didn't overcome all of that just for me. I didn't go through all of that just for me. There are people all over this nation, all over the world who need hope, who need help, who are where I used to be. And so I'm driven by that. I'm driven by this call to serve those who need the most help, the most help, the people who call out the best in me. There's just this intrinsic drive, like, to become my best. You know, Dan, as a kid, you know, man, I missed 60 to 90 days of school every year from fourth to ninth grade. I missed a lot of learning. And so in some ways, like, I'm still overcoming all of that stuff I never learned. And so I have this curiosity. You see these books behind me. I have thousands of books. I love learning. I'm very curious. And so I want to know more. And then my children, you're a father, my children, man, when my wife, we went to get this ultrasound and they put the little thing on her and I started hearing my son's heartbeat for the first time. Something inside me changed. And I was terrified because I was not yet the man I wanted him to see. I'm like, he's going to be like me and I'm going to ruin his life. If he's like me, I'm going to ruin his life. God, please help me become someone he can be proud of. Help me become someone that I can, you know, that will inspire him to be his very best. So I'm driven now to be my best. My wife says, you never worked harder than when you heard that heartbeat. Man, I've been grinding for 13 years because I got children now. So multiple motivations now, because I just want to be my best, man.
Getting back to the education piece too, you talk about how people, even strangers, have brought out stuff in you and motivated you. You talk about wanting to achieve an education at levels that no one in your family had achieved before. And what I've heard you say even so far in this interview, and I've heard you say it before too, is that call to serve and to give back, and specifically to give back to educators. I want to ask you a question that I don't know has been asked of you yet. If not, then I'm proud to be the first. I'm really curious though, are you an educator? I mean, obviously you've not been a classroom teacher. Do you, Manny Scott, do you consider yourself to be an educator?
No question about it, man. No question about it. So when I think about education, you know, there's cognitive part of it. There's the physical education. You know, there's the moral part. There's the religious part. There's the vocational part. There's this other part, man, where the character development, the without the virtues, without the right attitude, without the right habits, you know, with if your head and heart is not in the right place, no amount of content is going to help a kid. And so I see a big part of my calling is to enter into schools and meet kids right where they are and help them see their own potential, help them, give them glimpses of their own possibilities, help them see that education is the vehicle that can help them achieve their dreams and their goals and become the best that they can be. So absolutely, man. I'm not big on titles because I'm so many things, but absolutely, man, I see myself as an educator, you know, and I'm a homeschool teacher. We were teaching 42 lessons a week for the last several years, but So the short answer is absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, and I think I love hearing that, by the way. And if you've not heard this podcast before, every single episode, I end it by saying, no matter who you are or where you are, you can be a leader of learning. And it's kind of the same thing about being an educator as well. I call it label-less leadership, where it's like, the titles don't matter. Who's a classroom teacher, who's a school administrator, who's a superintendent. I like to think that all of them listen to this podcast and, whether it's just being an educator or feeling that sense of being a leader, everybody can do it. Not everybody does, but everybody can, and everybody should in their own way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a great point, man. So, I look at it like, you know, we all have an assignment. We all have a purpose or a role to serve when it comes to the world, when it comes to schools, when it comes to kids. And, you know, the classroom teacher is so important, you know, when it comes to reaching and teaching the little Manny Scotts of the world, the administrators, the superintendents. The lunch lady, you know, I don't know if you've heard me tell the story about my lunch lady, but my lunch lady kept me from dropping out and told me to go back to class. There were bus drivers and custodians and security guards. They all served a purpose and they all in some way helped me. And so when I look at myself, you know, if I weren't on the road so much, I could see myself in a classroom. With kids, just that, like, man, we would have so much fun learning together. I love language. I love writing. I love speaking. I love rhetoric, debate, things like that. Media. But because of my calling, man, I'm in a different state every day. But at heart, you know, I see myself trying to reach, teach, and empower kids so that they can succeed in school and really graduate prepared for work and life. That's what I've been doing for 20 years. So whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter to me. That's my sense of purpose, man. I was a pastor for 9 years, serving a church, you know? And so some people know me as Reverend. Some people know me as pastor. I just got a call earlier today. People call me pastor. Some people call me Manny Scott, the freedom writer. Some people call me a motivational speaker. I don't see myself as a motivational speaker. Man, I don't care what you call me. Give me the kids who need the most help, and I'll do my best to help them. That's, you know, I don't get caught up on titles.
Well, let's talk about that then. You know, the little Manny Scotts, as you call them. Obviously, you've highlighted your background, your history with, a troubled past, a broken home, like you said, and obviously trials and tribulations that you dealt with educationally speaking that correct me if I'm wrong, really were secondary in nature to all of the real stuff that you were dealing with. We have students like that. We have those little Manny Scotts. And even if we don't, education right now is tough. The world is going through a lot. Education is going through a lot. And we have teachers and educators who have, I want to choose my words carefully. They have, the focus has been a little off because they've been derailed, essentially, in my opinion. How do we get back to that? You know, how do we reach the Manny Scotts? How do we, you know, when you were speaking before about all of the different educational leaders from classroom teachers on up to administrators and quote unquote down to lunch ladies and bus drivers and everybody. What that reminded me of actually is ASCD's mission, really, to educate the whole child.
Yes.
You serve, right? You're called to serve educators. Things have been tough, man. How do we climb out of this, I guess, is really what I want to ask.
Well, brother, look, I've been in it, just in the trenches with all of you. When COVID hit, you know, before COVID hit, things were hard in so many schools, especially Title I districts, poverty, dysfunction, you name it. But everywhere I've been, there are kids who feel hopeless, of every color, of every ethnicity, every religion, man. I've been in 49 states. Every place I've been, there is a kid who feels hopeless, and a group of kids who feel hopeless. So when COVID hit, you know, man, I told my wife, I said, I think it's over. Like, I have asthma. I can't go out there. We gave our best for 20 years. Thank you, God, for the 20 years of serving. Maybe it's time to turn the page and begin a new chapter. I've done my best. But then I thought about all of the rest of them, the kids who don't have support at home, the kids who might not have a computer, the kids who, when they walk through the front door, no one's happy to see them. The kids who, you know, on the verge of giving up, the ones crying themselves to sleep at night, the ones being molested or raped, the ones who've been just neglected in the worst way. When I thought about those kids, I said, I just can't give up. Because if I stop now, how many more might we lose? And so I recommitted and I said, I got to figure this out. So, man, I start watching all these webinars and reading all these books and started just learning little by little. And I said, I got to figure this out. So we created a home studio, green screen and all, with all the lights. And we continue to serve those who need it most. And man, I was diagnosed with this chronic disease, Hashimoto's thyroiditis. The main symptom is fatigue and exhaustion. So I've had it for many years. I just didn't know it, but I've been fighting this for 5 years. But this last year, I lost my hair, but I'm fighting because so much is at stake with the young people in our nation. And I've been trying to tell educators for the last 20 years, guys, we have a problem. Kids are committing suicide like never before. There's a hopelessness among our young people like I've never seen. Back in the day, there was a little Manny Scott, and I might have been the only one of me in my class. Now there are millions of Manny Scotts all over this nation. And so I tell people, you have to find your why. Remind yourself of your why. And find the group that calls out the best in you. Whoever that is, because it can't be about money. You cannot make it in education if it's just about a paycheck. You just can't. There's not enough money in this to just keep, like, it just you have to find a group that calls out the best in you. I've been invited to serve billionaires and millionaires and keynote at all these wealthy people conferences, and I stopped taking the invitations. I'm like, I could, and many of these CEOs say, man, you could come and lead our company. And that's nice, but they don't call out the best in me. Those who are hopeless on the edge of giving up, call out the best in me. So I tell every educator, whoever that group is, find that group and serve them to the best of your ability. Because even when you're tired, even when you're discouraged, even when you're exhausted, and self-care is huge, I'll come back to that. Even when you are just at your worst, something about them inspires you to strive to become your best. And that's what I've done, man. I walk into jails and prisons and juvenile halls and detention centers where there's a hopelessness in this room. They don't care about Freedom Riders. They don't know about me or my story. They don't care about me. All they want to know is, do you have something that can help me make it through what I'm going through? And that's, I think, the best advice I could give for times like this. This friend of mine up in Pittsburgh, big time administrator, he was over a school filled with Manny Scotts. He did so well with that school that the district and the state promoted him to the top performing school in his state. And he says, Manny, these kids are wealthy. They have great parents. They're wonderful kids. He says, but I sold out. He said, I sold out. And I just wanted to come and tell you personally, with tears in his eyes, he said, I'm sorry. I said, why are you sorry? He says, Manny, I sold out. Like I went for the paycheck and I went for the money, but these kids don't need me. The little Manny Scotts need me. And I just said, well, man, I'm here for you if you want to talk. About a month later, he quit his job and went back to the other school. And this man loves it. You know, I follow him on Facebook. He loves it now. It's hard as I don't know what, but he loves it. And I think to make it in through times like this, you have to stay connected to the people who need you most. Your excellence, some destiny, I believe, is tied to your excellence. So find out who that group is and serve them to the best of your ability.
I love that advice. And like I told you, the reason why I sort of saved you and this episode for the end of the year is because, you know, we are struggling. I say we, I mean, all students, educators, it's been a year, as you know.
Absolutely.
And I think that's really great advice. And I'm wondering if you could maybe give me your thoughts and maybe your advice here to be honest, and this is one of the saddest parts of my job when it comes to educators who are tasked with helping out those little Manny Scotts is two things bother me the most. One is that they sell them short, you know, and I'm sure you, correct me if I'm wrong again, that you dealt with that growing up as well with your background and your absences from school and all that, where teachers just don't expect enough from their students. And they say, these students won't be able, can't, you know, they use the deficit model, right? Yeah. But I'm also concerned as well, equally, if not more so, to be honest with you, by teachers who still just are laser focused on teaching content, 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 and they're just not sure about what it takes to educate the whole child or to really tap into their individual interests and abilities. And like you said before, meet them where they're at, which clearly made a difference for you and can make a difference for all the little Manny Scotts that we still have in our classrooms. Those two things bother me the most.
Yeah, man. I mean, we could go down the list of just the challenges right now in our school systems. I think, you know, on a broad level, just the context and the system within which many teachers have to work, where, you know, evaluations are tied to test scores and the kind of stress that creates for teachers, logically, it makes sense for them to focus on content because my paycheck and my evaluation is tied these test scores. So I think that needs to be addressed on a macro level. But in the classroom, in the day-to-day, and that's really where my sweet spot is, you know, I don't believe you can relationship your way to success or student achievement. I don't think this relationships are the end all, be all. But I do know that if you have students who are underperforming, living in poverty, who have been traumatized, who are more often than not ethnically diverse, Black, Brown, poor white, Latino, Asian, at the bottom, everything you hope to achieve with those students and their parents would be better, are better achieved through healthy relationships. I just don't, you're not going to reach the little Manny Scott if you just teach content. You don't just teach math, you teach Matthew. And you, where I'm from, you know, I'd be sitting in class and teachers would be trying to make subjects and verbs agree and teach us about that. But words don't work where I'm from. You know, we'd be having to learn about the food groups. I don't know what I'm going to eat tonight. We'd be studying geography. I am sleeping at a homeless shelter. So there were so many issues going on in my personal life and so many things going on in kids' lives today that if you do not humble yourself, enter into their world to understand life through their eyes and meet them on their levels, you have, it's going to be nearly impossible to help that kid. That it's going to be nearly impossible for you to get that kid to care. And we found that out as soon as COVID shut down our schools. All these teachers were inboxing me, Manny, what can I say to those kids who are at home now who are struggling? I asked, did you build a relationship with them before this started? Well, no. Well, if you didn't have a relationship with them before this started, you have no chance. It's absolutely, it's so improbable that they're even going to respond to you now because you told them they don't, you don't care about them. You told them they don't matter to you. And so now you're trying to act like you care and they know you don't. And so I tell educators, you know, relationships, everything we hope to achieve must pass through the door of relationships, starting there. But to your first point, I'm living proof that, you know, and one of the reasons I'm so busy, I thought people would forget about me and they leave me alone and I could get back to my life. But, you know, I could speak every day of the year if I accepted every invitation. I think I'm so busy because educators need a reminder that even kids from the bottom, those kids can achieve at a very high level if they're given the same love and the same chance and the same opportunities as many kids who have many more resources. I'm living proof. I was a high school dropout, ESL student, you name it, traumatized, neglected, abused, 0.6 GPA. I was that kid. And yet I returned to school, earned 5 A's and 2 B's, graduated, went to Berkeley, earned 2 degrees, finishing up a PhD. I'm a pilot. I have my plane. I speak Hebrew and Greek. I can read Hebrew and Greek and un poquito español because of ESL. I'm living proof that it's not about where they're from, but it's about where they can go. And it's about meeting those kids. It's about, it's not lowering your expectations. Don't pity them in their poverty. Your pity doesn't help the little Manny Scotts. Oh, my poor baby, his daddy's in jail and his mama's addicted to crack and he's been abused. That doesn't help him. Sympathy, yes, but don't pity him. Empower him through education to overcome the poverty, to become who he can be, to reach his potential. And so that's what I hope teachers hear, a part of what they hear when they hear me speak. You need awareness. And this is actually what Teacher Secrets is about. This is this. I was just speaking with a friend of mine on another podcast. He says, Manny, this is the way forward. This is my doctoral work. This is my own personal background. And this is the last 20 years of my work with those at the bottom. This is what's needed to reach and teach and empower students today. You need awareness. You need motivation and passion, that reminder of your why. You need an in-depth understanding of the people that you serve. You need to understand. I mean, I can get into culture, equity, race. We could get into all kinds of stuff. And then you need some very particular skills to build a bridge between their very particular context and your amazing content. And right now, there's this huge gap between content and context. Your content is wonderful and it's great. You're an expert at what you know, but what good is this content if you can't make it accessible, present it in a way that's accessible to the students in their context so that they can see that it's relevant, that it's worth their time, that it's achievable. And so my hope is teachers see that. Yes, your content is great, but can you present it in a way that the students in your class can perceive it as relevant, perceive it as worth their time, perceive it as achievable. If you can do that, then I know you can change. If you can reach a little Manny Scott, you can reach anybody. If you can reach a kid on a park bench who was eating out of a dumpster, if you can reach a kid who lost his best friend, if you can reach that kid, you can reach anyone. If you're willing to humble yourself, develop the awareness, motivation, understanding, and the skills.
Yeah, I want to share two things with you. Both I've mentioned on this podcast before, so nothing new to my listeners. But since I know you've become quite the scholar now going for your PhD, I wanted to mention that if you're familiar or not with John Hattie's research in education on visible learning, literally one of the top, it's either the top three or at least the top five largest effect sizes. So in other words, what actually gets students to succeed more in school is teacher expectations of their students. And so I know that there are people out there who don't love the research, or at least the way the research was conducted, but he is one of the foremost education researchers. And that is one of the things that he found out, that the expectations that a teacher has on their students, in other words, the bar that they set for them, will matter more than almost, I mean, I think it was 150 plus things that they studied, and that was in the top three or top five. So research shows that what Manny Scott is saying is true, that when teachers really not only show that they care, but encourage and motivate despite a student's background, despite their true abilities and efforts and all that, just the encouragement, the expectations, setting those high expectations and raising the bar, it does make a difference. The other thing that I wanted to share with you that I've said on the podcast before is, no joke, Manny, this school year, while we were going through COVID and everything, I had a teacher who I had just started working with, been a teacher for a long time, as you could probably guess after I share the story with you. He said to me, Dan, I got to know your opinion on something. Like, I don't really understand why the district keeps moving farther and farther and taking more and more time away from the content that I'm trying to teach and go into this other fluff. I think he called it fluff. I might be paraphrasing a little bit, but the social emotional learning and the mindfulness and the, it wasn't really the time and the place to get into it really with him, but that was so disappointing, and having this conversation with you, you know, just reignites my why a little bit too. And that was a while ago now. And I've, like I said, I've talked about it on the podcast, but it just goes to show that education does need to change. And the way teachers, like you said, build those relationships, raise their expectations, understand that educating the whole child at this point is getting students to be future focused and future ready. You know, that's my hope. I know you've shared a lot of that too, but that's where I'd like to see education come out of these quote unquote dark times and this really rough patch that we've been in during the pandemic.
Absolutely, man. So I got to tell you a story. I don't know how much time we got, but I got dressed up for you, man. So you got to let me tell you the story.
As long as you got the time, I'm here.
So, when I was in high school, my English teacher, Erin Gruel, Freedom Riders teacher, she started teaching us, you know, well, first she tried to introduce us to Chaucer, Hemingway, and Frost. It didn't work. You know, she passed out these syllabi, and my friend Duan just threw back at her, like, why you got us reading about all these white guys, these dead white guys who probably wore tights? And she nervously chuckled. But what he was saying is, there's nothing on this syllabus that any of us can relate to. We feel like we live in an undeclared war zone. Our friends are dying left and right. And there's nothing on here that's going to help us walk through what we have to walk through when we leave this building. Does nobody care that we're dying? And so I tell teachers, you teach what's relevant, what's important, what's significant, not only by what you say, not only by what you do, not only by what you put in your lesson plan and your syllabus and your curriculum, on your posters and your movies, but you also teach what's not important by what you don't say, by what you don't do, by what doesn't show up in your curriculum and your syllabus and your lesson plans in your on your posters or your movies. And so I ask teachers with concern and with love, can your students see themselves through your teaching? Can they see themselves through your curriculum, through your lesson plans? Because if they can't see themselves, you are unintentionally and unknowingly telling them, you and people like you don't matter to me. And you become the reason the light begins to dim. You become the reason they stop logging in, they stop leaning in, they stop showing up, because you've told them they don't matter to you. And so I use that as an example for teachers to let them know, first of all, you need to recognize that your cultural universe is not culturally universal. Now, this is where my PhD work comes in. Your normal is not everyone else's normal. And so you need to understand that everything about you is culturally conditioned and everything you say is linguistically particular. And if you lack cultural self-awareness, education becomes nothing more than the transference of your culture to them. And it's, you can end up without cultural self-awareness, reading your biases into your curriculum and then passing them on to your students. And so it's so important to humble yourself and recognize that your normal is not everyone else's normal. If you've ever said, what's wrong with these kids? Why don't they know better? What's wrong with these parents? Why are we? If you've ever said that, you're teetering on the edge of ethnocentricity because you're evaluating other people through the lens of your own cultural background. If you grew up like they grew up, you wouldn't know better. And if they grew up like you grew up, they would know better. Humble yourself and recognize that not everyone has the same privileges and opportunities that many of us have been given. So that's first. Second, this teacher, she recognized that none of the stuff she was teaching us was working. So she pushed the desk to the side and she showed up one day and she says, guys, I want to teach you something about Tupac Shaker. I'm like, what? We started laughing. We said, Miss G, it's Tupac Shakur. She said, there's a K, so I thought it was Shake. Anyways, look, she starts dissecting the works of Tupac and Biggie and Snoop and Nas to teach us metaphors and similes and personification and alliteration and all these rhetorical tropes and figures. And she says, and she starts teaching us how they're using language. And then she pulls out these journals and shows us that, well, then she shows us that Shakespeare used them and Chaucer used them and Hemingway. But then she pulled out the journals and said, and you can use these things too. And so we start writing in these journals. And one day I was walking into her class. She used to greet us at the door. She stopped me. She says, Manny. I said, what's up, Ms. G? She says, you have a gift. I said, sweet, where is it? She says, no, you have a gift with words. You have to go to college. I said, Ms. G, no one in my family graduated from high school. So thank you, but you're supposed to say that. That bothered her. She says, Manny, I'm not here because of where you're from. I'm here because of where you can go and you can go to college. I said, Ms. G, like, Black people don't go to college. She says, what are you talking about? I said, people like me, we don't go to college. She argued with me. She says, look, she says, give me your word that you'll do your best and I can help you. She said, you told me in your neighborhood, your word is your bond. When you say something, it matters. Give me your word. I'm like, nah, Ms. G. She says, give me your word. I said, all right, I'll do my best. And I did my best. And one night she helped me and several of my classmates apply to college. And there was a stack of college applications. I didn't know anything about these places, Dad. I didn't know what college was. She said, I said, I don't know what this is. I said, where do you think I should apply? She says, Manny, you had a 0.6 and now you have like a 3.9. She says, why don't you apply to my dream school? I said, what's it called? She said, it's the Harvard of the West Coast. It's the Ivy League of California. I said, what's that? What's Ivy? What is that? She said, it's in Long Beach. It's by our high school. She says, no, it's in the Bay Area. I said, where is that? She said, it's where Jason Kidd plays basketball. I said, that's where I want to go. I didn't listen. First of all, I didn't know who Jason Kidd was. I was a football guy. But the way she said his name told me that I should care about this. Short of it is, I get this acceptance package from UC Berkeley and I handed it to her. Well, I'm sorry, let me back up. I handed it to my British lit teacher. This guy had a PhD I was inspired by this man. I liked this man, and I think he's still there. I handed him my acceptance letter to UC Berkeley, and he wasn't joking. He didn't laugh. He wasn't trying to be funny. I like this man. He looked at my acceptance letter and looked up at me, and he asked this question: how did you get into Berkeley? Man, that's what you really think about me. After this whole year, this is how you think. I took my little acceptance letter and I walked down the hall to Erin Gruel's class. She was teaching freshmen at the time now. She did so well with us, the administration said, okay, you think you're so hot, you think you're so great, let's see you do it again with the worst freshmen. So I went into her freshman class and I handed her my acceptance letter and she started crying. She says, Manny, we got in, and you have to go. Are you gonna go? Dan, the only reason I said yes is because it seemed like it meant that much to her. I did not want to disappoint her. What comes from the heart reaches the heart. She had such high expectations of me that I strained to live up to those expectations. And so to your point, man, like a lot of who I am today is the result of a community of people believing in me before I did. And I tell educators, sometimes you have to believe in someone else's belief in you until your own belief sets in. And I'm the product of a community of people, unsung heroes. There's no Hollywood movie about most of them, but these people believed before I did. And I think subconsciously, they're some of the reason why I continue to pay it forward. I feel indebted to those who are still in the school systems because you're tired, because you're discouraged, because you're burned out, because you're sick of politics. I get it. But if I can just come in and let you know, despite all of that, don't forget that who you are right now with whatever limitations you have is enough to alter the trajectory of a little Manny Scott's life. That was a long story, man, but I just felt like it was on my heart to share with someone right now who's on the verge of giving up. So many teachers, educators are thinking about leaving the field, have left the field, and are trying to figure out what else to do with their lives. I won't even try to argue with you about your reasons for wanting to leave. My hope is I can just give you one reason to stay, one reason to keep fighting despite everything that's wrong.
I really... thank you for sharing that story and just for everything that you shared tonight and not just, you know, in this episode and on this podcast, but times when I've heard you speak and all the times that I haven't, because I'm telling you, man, it's powerful. You've definitely impacted and influenced me and the way that I go about my job and my role as an educator. And I hope that that my listeners, if they've never heard you before, feel the same way.
Thank you, Dan.
So thanks for everything you've shared. I do really want to give you the chance to plug your stuff here a little bit. I know that's not really the focus of this episode, but you did. I know you have several books, but you had one recently that you've referenced before here, the Teacher Secrets Every Educator Must Know to Empower Students in a Diverse Digital World. Also, the Turning the Page Tour, again, one of the best speakers that I've seen and so impactful, whether you call yourself a motivational speaker or not, super powerful, super emotional, just real raw and tells it like it is. So, you know, what would you need to know about the book, where to get the book and what about the tour as well?
So if you want it's pretty much a free copy of Teacher Secrets. It's $9.99. It costs more than that to print and to ship it, but teacher-secrets.com. You can get this for $9.99 and it's almost 400 pages long. It doesn't have to be read cover to cover, but you will need every one of these secrets at some point in your teaching career, whether it's, well, I don't want to get into all of it. Look at teacher-secrets.com. If you want to learn how to reach, teach, and empower even the most underperforming students in this diverse digital world that we're in, whether you have to do it in person or virtually, there's some stuff in here that you won't find in most education books. And so I think it will bless you. How do you sell your content to your students? How do you establish frame control in a classroom of challenging students? How do you tell a story in a way that compels them to listen? And so much more, so much more. understanding culture, understanding equity and things like that. With the tour, I mean, I'll be in like 30 states in about 30 days, all over the country, just trying to remind, and each group is different. So each message that I deliver is different. You know, I might share some of my story, but some people might need intercultural competence. How do you build a relationship across culture with these difficult students? Or how do I become more interculturally competent because our district is changing? Or how can I help the little Manischots in my district overcome their obstacles to become, you know, who they can be? I'm going to be on the road until November 23rd. And after that, I'm taking a sabbatical. So if your district needs hope, if your district needs help, if your district needs encouragement, if your students need a glimpse of their own possibilities, you can find me at manischott.com or Facebook or Instagram or any of that. If I send daily messages, inspiration quotes, all of that, to just keep trying to add some wind in your sails, because I know you're tired. But that's it. You know, I'm not really a salesperson. I'm just someone trying to serve. And I see this as my obligation to share with those who really need something to help them. And if that's you, if what you're doing is not working, get this book. I promise you it'll help you.
Well, Manny, I do really appreciate that about you, that willingness to serve and that spiritual calling that I think that you feel like you need to do to give back. This has been a real meaningful hour of my time, one that I've been looking forward to a ton. I have a lot of respect for what you do and the messages that you share. So thank you for sharing that with us here. You just shared your social media and all your contact information, of course. I will link those in the show notes on my website as well, so people know how to get in touch with you if necessary and find your content. But just really sincerely, thank you for everything that you do, everything you've done and continue to do between the speaking and your calling with your PhD work that I know you've really been powering through for a while now. So, you know, thank you in advance for that work as well.
Oh, I appreciate you, Dan. Thank you for the opportunity to serve, brother. It's great to connect with you finally. And I'm just grateful for the work you've been doing. I know it's in addition to teaching and leading and all of that, you're still making time to inspire the nation. So thank you for your work, my friend. If I can help with anything else, please let me know.
Well, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't done so yet, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app. Also, if you enjoy the content shared on the show, please recommend this podcast to other educators, leaders, friends, or anyone you think would love listening and learning. I would also appreciate it if you would leave a positive rating and review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, or whatever podcast app you use to listen. For more information about me or this show, head over to leaderoflearning.com. While you're there, you can also find the Leader of Learning blog, how to connect on social media such as Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Voxer, sign up for our newsletter, and even find out how to purchase Leader of Learning merchandise. Thanks again, and remember, no matter who you are or where you are, you too can be a leader of learning.